Hello, this is John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, is the idea that you can create complaints by over-promising. So the rule is obviously deliver more than you promised. And if you promise too much and underdeliver, then you're going to generate complaints. That might be the source of your complaints. If you've got a big complaint handling issue, then look at right back at the sale and at the deal you make with your people, and make sure that that's good and reasonable. Next is the idea of, and this you can kind of rinse and repeat across all internet marketing, really. It's the overriding principle is measure stuff, work out what's working, and repeat it. And even the one of my kind of favorite stories going back is when I was always a kind of a bit of a studious kid. So instead of just playing chess, I would read books about how to play chess, and I read books about how to fish. So I used to, you know, sit at the side of the riverbank and fish. I read a book about how to win fishing matches. So I entered a few fishing matches, never won anything, but and I liked this guy's style. He had, whereas everybody else was trying to catch big fish, he optimized for the small fish. He didn't use a float, he just used a hook. And I used to do this. I guess there's a time of year when the fish are young and stupid and enthusiastic, and there's lots of them. And so you could literally just drop a maggot on a hook into fish, put your Polaroid sunglasses on to see through the glare on the top of the water and see down. You could see when a fish took your maggot and just lifted out of the water, and I used to do that quite a bit. And he had optimized for that. He got, he wanted to kind of create a feeding frenzy, and then literally he had barbless hooks so that it was fast to pick the fish out, drop it in the keep net, hook another maggot, drop that in, and he just did that for 5 hours or whatever the match length was, and he'd win by sheer weight of fish, but they were all small fish, while everybody else was maybe getting, you know, the ones that you want to pose with. And I really like that as a metaphor for life, to be honest. I like the idea of a lot of small wins as opposed to the big show-off ones. And I'm getting the impression that although a lot of internet marketers, you know, the famous ones, the gurus, there's a lot of swagger about, of course, people with Ferraris and people who are involved in big launches. But of course, they're kind of one-offs, or they're, and actually, if you drill right in, you can often find that somebody is happy to create a revenue stream or an income stream, you know, that's maybe £10 a day or £20 a day. And if that works and is repeatable and is consistent and can just sit there and do that, that's fine. That's 20 quid a day, you know, and then we'll go off and create another one. So think in terms of lots of small wins. Think in terms of lots of small channels. And, you know, before you know it, you've got 10, 20 quid channels, and you've got a good income. And there's nothing to stop you creating 20, 20 quid channels or 100, 20 quid channels, once you've kind of got the grip of what it is you're doing. So this tweet is become a Twitter gazillionaire by working out what leads to a sale, use analytics to analyze that, and then do more of that. So this is the idea that, okay, if you are measuring the kinds of things that you're doing on Twitter. You know the kinds of tweets that lead to clicks, and you're measuring the clicks that come back to your website, and perhaps the clicks that go elsewhere as well. If you're using Bitly, you can do that. You know, see what it is you've done over the last month that's led to something, whether it's a sign up or a small purchase or something like that, and then try and hone in on that and try and duplicate it and repeat it, and you know, without being spammy and without being repetitive and without kind of irritating people, try to edge towards the things that are working for you and away from the things that aren't working. And that, in essence, is internet marketing. The next thing is the idea of I'm back. Had to pause that for a minute. A bit of a kerfuffle in the household, but anyway. Right. The next tweet is about the idea that social media and the internet blurs the boundary between you and your customers. So it allows you to involve your customers in developing products, building markets, and kind of voting on things, whether it's your new logo or big decisions in the company. It means that your critics, the people who have a problem with you, can become your advocates, because if you listen to them and you engage them and you take on board what they're saying, then they can be real innovation drivers for your business. And so what you've got is a kind of, well, there's you, there are people who are customers and advocates or critics of you and your business, and the good ones of those, obviously there are people out to cause trouble, and there's no real reason, you know, you can try and engage them, that's great, but some people genuinely do just want to create trouble, they will never be your advocates, they will never support you. You can never shift them. But most people, you can, and it's not actually about that. It's, you know, if someone has deep criticism of you that you can learn from and take on board, that's great. The reason for listening to them is not to bring them on board and turn them into your best pals. It is genuinely to listen. And with the internet, with Twitter, these conversations are happening anyway. You better be in the conversation. So you can engage those people by being open about the things that you're doing. And so then you've got another layer just outside your company. People who aren't employees, but who you might, for instance, let play with an early version of a product. Hey guys, you know, have a look at this. Let me know what you think. They may be early testers. They may be early adopters. They might want to buy into a program, that recognizes their input and contribution to your success. That gives them, you know, a pen or a badge or a t-shirt or something, or brings them along to some event. That leads them to have status, so that they may be journalists or they may be bloggers who are getting your news earlier or at the same time as your regular kind of PR stream, at least. But they are shown around the factory and so they know a lot more about you. And familiarity helps people like what you're doing, they see the reasons why you're doing what you're doing. So there's those people. There are your ordinary customers who can be your advocates. They can, and this actually is your favourite tweet from yesterday. It's the business of reviews. You know, Amazon has reviews, TripAdvisor, Rotten Tomatoes, ePinions, eBay, Expo TV, CNET. Loads of places have reviews, as well as lots and lots of, you know, you can put reviews onto your website. You know, whatever content management system you're using will definitely provide you with the facility to allow people to star review different products and so on. So, you know, your customers can become your advocates if they're going to review, if they're going to pass comment, if they're going to star you, if they're going to share their experience with their friends, if they're going to come back and watch for upgrades, and if they're going to advise people about your solution when friends have the problem that your product or service solves, you know, they're your customers, and they're kind of on your side. And then beyond that, you've got people who maybe would like to be your customers but perhaps can't afford or aren't in a position yet to buy, for one way or, you know, for one reason or another, but you know, they're interested in what you do, and they're following you and they're talking about you, and they're making plans that include you, and after that there are obviously the people who, yeah, have a vague idea of you and haven't yet found you. But you know that rule about is it people have to, it was the old advertising rule in the magazines, people have to see your ad 7 times, was it 9 times, I think it might have been 9 times, before they take action in an ad. So if you're going to place your ad in a magazine, you can't judge it just once. You have to run it 9 times before you can even start to decide whether it's going to make you any money or not. But your ad in a magazine will only be seen 1 in 3 times. So actually you've got to place your ad 27 times in the magazine before it gets, before you can even start to evaluate whether it's going to pay back for you or not. So there are people out there who are some way along that 27 count. They're somewhere along that 9 count. They're somewhat aware of you, or they've never heard of you, or they've heard of you and they kind of were slightly interested, but maybe they're not interested, you know. They're along that path somewhere. So this isn't a question of our database of clients and our database of prospects and our database of possibles. And, you know, it's not as hard cut as that. It's fuzzy, and you can deal with it partly through social media. So what this tweet was all about was building a better business by creating ways for people at whatever level they're at with you to engage, to think about what you could do with your customers, what you could do with your advocates, what you could do with people who've inquired, what you could do with people who criticize you, what you could do with the window shoppers, what you could do with the people who are vaguely interested but haven't really heard of you yet, and how you could deal with it, and having a plan for all of those different people. The final thing was this idea of internationalization and different attitudes from in different countries, and just the idea, I've no idea whether it's true or not, but the idea that Chinese users are skeptical of a professional looking website because the implication is it is built to persuade and built to sell, and they're kind of not into that. I guess we're not into that as well. I mean, we can obviously see websites that are built to sell and techniques that are built to sell, and we also have our antidotes. So it's a very kind of broad, you know, sweep statement, but it's a provocative thought that is intended to say different nationalities of people have different attitudes to the things that you show them on screen, and that's something that you can only deal with by really getting deep into the different nationalities' psyche. And if you've got a lot of traffic from different countries, you can drill down in analytics and see whether, for instance, Chinese visitors to your website are not converting as well as others. And so you could, if you've got a load of traffic from them, you could start to look at how to improve it. Of course, you can deliver a version of your website that's optimized if people have, you know, depending on where they're from, depending on where they're coming from and what their language setting is in the browser, you can deliver them a version automatically. So that's kind of that. But it may not just be translation issues. There may well be much deeper cultural issues underneath, you know, whether people buy from you or not. That's it for today, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.